best book of the Bible. I'll just remind you, God put backs to this book. This is all the Bible we have. It's all the Bible we need. We need no further new revelation from God. This is it. And in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Now, we have a lot of wandering sheep tonight, wandering around somewhere. So I will not try to overfeed you tonight. Don't need to give you the whole loaf, I guess, or the whole load while we being very few. Now, really, I will make every attempt to be actually fairly concise, maybe brief, I don't know, in my remarks tonight. Now, if you know me, given my subject matter, you can already guess what that is, and how I love that subject, that will be quite a task in and of itself. I can get carried away as I talk about this subject. I really can't. But I think I can do that tonight just by doing one very simple thing, is just shorten down my introduction. Teeter laughed at me. She sent me a good thing today, and I should have put it on the screen. These two chickens looking kind of shocked when the preacher says he's 30 minutes into his message and he says point number one. so you know you're in trouble. So I know my weakness. I know the problem that I have whenever I try to put a message together. And I don't do it haphazardly. I spend a lot of time thinking about it, praying about it. And so consequently, so many things bombard my mind. And I've not yet perfected eliminating stuff, and taking it out. But that's exactly what I will try to do tonight. My text is one verse of scripture, but man, what a verse it is. The Bible says in verse number 20, he which testifieth, these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, in that one verse of scripture, I want you to know that there is an amazing promise, and at the same time, there's also an amazing prayer. Now, you will notice that four of the words in that verse of scripture is in red. That signifies, of course, that the Lord himself is speaking these words. Jesus himself is saying, behold, I come quickly. Now, I don't want to take the time to go through all the other places. Suffice to say that he said that a lot, especially in the book of Revelation. If I took the time to go through all of those, I would not shorten my introduction down at all. But he says that a lot. I come quickly. Now, that actually carries in a couple of ideas. On the one hand, it certainly does carry the idea that it's going to be very soon. I think that's true. I don't think it'll be very long at all. The more I look around and the more I see what's going on in our society, I think it's going to be soon. I think it's going to be in my lifetime. I really do believe that. Now, it may not be. I understand God's in control of those things, but I think it's going to come very shortly. But I'm told that the real idea of this, when he says, I come quickly, the idea in the Greek is that once it starts, it's going to unfold very rapidly. It's going to snowball, if you will. It's going to come in rapid fire succession. Now, I point that out because I think it's important because of the way a lot of people think. I've had people tell me before, well, if I see certain things happen, then I may repent, but not before. The sad fact of the matter is, it's not going to be that way at all. As a matter of fact, you're not going to know what hits you. And that the idea when Jesus said, as it were, in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were married, they were given in marriage. And listen, and he said, they knew not until the flood came and took them away. And he said, so shall it also be. That's how it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. So the idea is that once it starts, there's not going to be any time to make amends. There's not going to be any time to make things right. In fact, the Bible indicates that God will send you a strong delusion that you would believe a lie, that you might be damned who believe not the truth. That's what the Scripture says. So when he says, behold, I come quickly, really the idea is, man, once this thing starts to unfold, it's going to happen so suddenly, so quickly, people are not going to realize really what hit them. That's what it means. And so we have that promise that is given to us in this text. Now, I like what one man said, and Brother Nathan brought it up there momentarily. I like what one man had to say about this. He said, in this prophecy, he really starts back at verse number 7. In this prophecy, he says, we have an amazing promise. And that's another time when he says, behold, I come quickly, back in verse number 7. And he talks about those that being blessed for keeping the words of this prophecy. That is an amazing promise. And then he talks about an amazing prize. The second time in this text that he gives us that promise, I'm coming quickly, he says, and listen, my reward is with me. In other words, there is great rewards, folks, for those who serve God. And then he says there in our text, there is that amazing prayer. So we do have that amazing promise, behold, I come quickly. But then we also do have, as I said, that amazing prayer, when John says, amen. And then he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, it is that prayer that I really want to focus in and hone in on tonight for just a few moments. Now, when I was a boy, I would eavesdrop on conversations sometimes that adults would have. And I remember times when adults would be talking about the Bible, and many times they would be talking about the second coming of our Savior and what it would be like leading up to that time, and then what it would be like once the rapture occurs. I'll be honest with you, as a boy, it scared me to death. It scared the daylights out of me. I mean, when I'd hear them talk about the things that are described in the book of Revelation, it would scare me to death. It really would. Now, you understand, I was dumber than a coal bucket when it comes to the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I only knew what I'd hear. I knew not just enough about when they talk about the book of Revelation that I knew that, man, that's some bad stuff. And it used to scare me. It really did. It played out like a horror movie when I tried to imagine some of these things. You see, even as a child, even as an unsaved boy, and really that's why it frightened me, I was lost. But even as a lost boy, I knew enough that the Bible was real. The Bible was literal. It takes an absolute idiot to spiritualize the book of Revelation. I'm sorry. That's why I despise amillennial doctrine. I despise it with all of my heart. And I will not let a known amillennialist preach in this pulpit. He has to deny too much scripture. It is a plague in our Baptist churches. I don't know why I got off on that. But anyway, I remember them talking about, I would try to imagine this. I mean, think about it. I hear them talk about a time when men's hearts would literally fail them out of fear. I mean, can you imagine it being so bad that men would just drop dead out of fear? Now, that's some bad stuff. I remember them talking about a time when men would actually try to kill themselves, try to take their own life, and they'd not be able. You see, folks, life and death is in God's hands. You understand? But I think that's some bad stuff. It's bad enough that you want to kill yourself. I remember a time them talking about when the Bible says that the sea will become as the blood of a dead man. Not just be bloody, but stinking, a stench. Then all the lakes and all the rivers be turned into blood. And it frightened me. I remember it talking about the sun actually scorching men with fire. And it being so bad that they would gnaw their tongues in pain. You know. Now, what even frightened me more, that it would drive them to blaspheme the God of heaven instead of repenting of their sins. You know. And I hear all those stories, and it'd scare the daylights out of me. It really would. Now, I was scared for a very good reason. You know, I remember as a boy thinking like this, Lord, I want to live long enough to get married and to have children. Now that sounds crazy. That was my dream. So I can honestly say, Belinda, I'm living my dream with Belinda, you know. Even if I do beat up on her in her sleep. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have children. But I actually had that fear that I would never be able to do that. You know how people think. By the way, I was raised in the 60s and 70s when we had bomb drills. Any of y'all remember doing that? Get under the desk and get in. I don't know what good that would do you in the big box, but that's what we did. I remember thinking like that. I remember in my little depraved mind praying, thought I was praying. I say, Lord, let me live long enough that I can get married and have children. I was scared to death. But let me tell you something, folks. I'm glad to say all of that has changed for me. I am no longer afraid. In fact, His love, His perfect love, has cast out my fear. I no longer dread the thought of revelation. Man, I desire it. You understand? And so throughout this book especially, the Lord insists He's coming. Not any doubt at all. But in our text, the saints invite Him to come. They no longer dread it. They desire it above all else. We say, Amen. Come on. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And so I just want to think, we do have that amazing promise, but I want to think primarily about this amazing prayer. Now let me do it in three simple ways, and I'll go through these very quickly. But in the first place, notice what I would call the basis of this prayer. Now, I throw this in because I just want you to understand, in response to Jesus saying what He said, John says, Amen, and then even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, beloved, that John is praying for the Lord to come back. We don't sing, wait a little longer, Lord Jesus. Have you ever heard that stupid song? Wait a little longer, Lord Jesus. Audrey's not here. I can get by with saying stupid. She gets on me when I say stupid in the pulpit. Wait a little longer, Lord Jesus. I got loved ones that haven't come. Let me tell you something. No safe person should ever sing that song. John prayed for Him to come. Now, this prayer is based on two sure foundational things. In other words, John is not, it's not just a blind hope. It's not just a shot in the dark. But John is praying on two sure realities. Number one, it is based on the Lord's promises. Now, I say that because Jesus just had promised, "Behold, I come quickly." You see. Now, again, he says that several times in this chapter, verse number 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Verse number 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be." And then in our text, "He that testifies these things says, surely I come quickly." And again, the word "quickly" again signifies suddenly. Again, it just simply indicates that once it starts, there's not going to be time for you to get ready. You better be ready for His coming. You see. Now, this is not the first time we find this promise in the Word of God. In fact, places like John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." You have Acts chapter 1, when he ascended back into heaven, and two men stood by them in white apparel, and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Listen, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." You see. Now, a cloud received him out of their sight. Revelation chapter 1 says, you know what? "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." So, this is not the first time we got that promise. But it is the last time. Isn't that great? This is the last revelation we have from God. And the message is, surely, definitely, I come quickly. Or suddenly. You see. Now, I thought a lot about that. Number one, these are closing words. I mean, again, it's interesting to me that the last message to God's people in God's revelation in the canon of Scripture is all about the fact Jesus is coming again. Now, we place great stock in somebody's last words, especially if they're famous men. I've read and I've often quoted them in messages, some last words of some famous preachers, and it's always very inspirational to me. My grandmother, when she died, said something that stuck with us. She told my mother, "Dorothy, I hear singing." You know. And she asked her, "Do you hear that singing?" And she went out of this world talking about that singing. So, last words are always very interesting. It's kind of like that old joke I told you about the pastor that was visiting a deacon in the hospital who was sick. And they thought everything was going to be all right, but while he was there, the deacon took a turn for the worse, and suddenly began to go downhill. And he's trying to talk, and he couldn't talk. And he motioned for something to write on. And the pastor handed him a pad, and he feverishly scribbled out a message and with his last ounce of strength, and then he died. Well, the pastor was so broken up, he didn't even read the note. He stuck it in his jacket pocket. And the day of the deacon's funeral, he stood up there, and he said, "Boy," he said, it was devastating when Fred died. And we all love Fred. And Fred was such a faithful man of God and went through all that. You know, you're supposed to brag on somebody when they're dead. And he said, then he realized, he said, "But I remember Fred with his last ounce of strength, wrote a note. And I realized I got the same jacket on. And I haven't even read it myself, so I want to read it to you. Knowing Fred, I know to be inspirational. And he opened the note up and he said, the note said, "Stand, step to the right, preacher, you're standing on my oxygen tube." Yeah. Last words are many times important. Well, it is especially the last words from God. Surely I come quickly. So they're closing words. They're also comforting words. Matter of fact, I'll just tell you, there is nothing more comforting, I think, in the Word of God than the fact Jesus is coming again. It no longer frightens me. I've had professed saved people, when we study the book of Revelation, say, man, that stuff just scares me to death. You know, I mean, you think about everything that goes on in there, and ain't none of it frightens me. You see, it's comforting. In fact, when Paul discussed the rapture in detail in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he ends up saying, listen, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm no longer afraid. I'm excited about it. I no longer dread it. I desire it. You see. It's the most comforting truth we can find. It's closing words, it's comforting words, and it is confident words. What I mean by that, when Jesus said, surely, that's like saying, absolutely, in my language. Definitely, definitely, I come quickly. I like the thought of this. Jesus had absolute confidence. There's no doubt whatsoever. So I have absolute confidence that he's coming again. Right? Listen, just as much as I know he came the first time, I know he's coming the second time. I not only have a resurrected Lord, I have a returning Lord. Right? Not just a risen Lord, I'll have a reigning Lord. It's not that he just bore the cross. One day he's going to wear a crown. It gives us absolute comfort. So you understand, this prayer is based on the Lord's promise. Second of all, it is based on the Lord's purpose. What I mean by that, when John said, even so, come Lord Jesus, listen, he's thinking like God. Right? And again, you think about all that John saw. By the way, John is known as the apostle of love. Probably not a more loving man, except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But John saw some bad stuff. You know, with all the devastation and destruction that's coming on this world, I'm talking about literal demons surging up out of the abyss. That's some tough stuff. And all the suffering and heartache that people will go through. And yet John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's thinking like God. You see, John understood, folks, the Father's ultimate purpose is to glorify His Son. That should be our thought also. We want to see the Son glorified. He did come bearing a cross, but listen, the next time He's going to wear a crown. He's not coming as a lamb, He's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. I want to see Him glorified. In a world where He's not glorified at all, He's rejected, but He's not glorified. He's mocked and He's ridiculed, but He's not glorified. He's left out of every public arena that we have. He left out of the halls of justice, the halls of government, left out of our schools. Many times left out of many churches. listen, he's going to be glorified. And so when John says, even so, come Lord Jesus, it's based on the Lord's promise. It's based on the Lord's purpose. So we have the basis of this prayer. I gotta move. I'm running out of gas. Second, not just the basis of this prayer. Notice the burden of this prayer. And I'm not going to spend long on this, but I want you to notice that John said, Jesus said, when he said, I've come quickly, John says, amen. Very interesting word. It literally means, let it be, or so be it, or I agree. When you say amen to the preacher, you say, I agree, let it be, so be it. And then he said, even so. In the Greek, it carries the idea of yea, or yes, you see. So what John is saying, yes, let it be. That's the idea. Now again, John is saying all that. It expresses, I think, the paradox we face. John is in essence saying, listen, I know what's going to happen. I see that the vast majority of the world at that time is not ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. They're not ready. They're going to face unspeakable terror. The majority of them are lost. Thank God in the tribulation there's going to be a number no man can number. But you know what? They're saved. But you know what? The Bible says it's only a remnant. And John said, amen. So be it. I agree. Even so, come Lord Jesus. That's the paradox. That's the struggle. I know most people are not ready. I know that I have people in my family that are lost and not ready. And I know when the rapture occurs, they're going to be left behind. That's a frightening thought. They're going to face things that I cannot even really imagine. They're going to face, you know, the great tribulation period. The rise of the Antichrist. They're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. Now, I say that, and I don't say that flippantly. I say it with a heavy heart, because I want to tell you something. If you're lost, I'm convinced of this, if you have been privileged, as some of you are, to hear the gospel, now is the day of salvation. You read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I quoted it to you earlier. You want to know what's going to happen to you? I'm convinced of this. God's going to send you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. But you know what? Even knowing all that, I still say, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. So we have the basis of this prayer, the burden of this prayer. Lastly, we have the blessings of this prayer. And I wanted to add this in. Now this is all second nature to many of us. But I want to tell you what happens. There's some glorious things coming when Jesus comes again. I don't need to go into the idea that His coming is in two stages. He's going to come first in the air, then He's going to come back to this earth. He's going to come for us, then we're going to come with Him. We can't come back with Him unless He comes back for us. So I believe in the rapture. But all of that aside, there's a great blessing. That's why this is why we say, amen. Even so, number one, there's going to be a blessing of a rapture. I'm convinced of it. I don't care what people say today. And these Johnny come lately preachers that's come along and denying the rapture. I know there's going to be a rapture. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's the rapture. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I know there's a rapture. Then there is the blessing of a resurrection. As we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. He shall change our vile bodies. I'm glad for that. That it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Brethren, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we'll see him as he is. There's going to be a resurrection one day. There's going to be a blessing of a reunion. We're going to be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he speaks of our gathering together unto him. And then lastly, there's going to be a reward. My reward is with me, he says, even to give every man according to the ways and the works. It is a very special and amazing promise. Surely I come quickly, but it is an amazing prayer. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I read one time about this home for, we used to call them mentally handicapped children, mentally impaired. Challenge, however you want to say it, whatever the politically correct term of today is. But it was run by a Christian couple. And they taught those children Scripture. Read Scripture to them all the time. And it's amazing what a childlike mind will soak up. They loved it when they taught them Scripture. Their favorite subject was the coming of Christ. They taught them that Jesus is coming again so much. The parents of that home said that it was impossible to keep the windows clean because the little children always pressing their face up against it, looking for Jesus to come back. That's the way we ought to be. Even so, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. All right, I'm done. Let's stand. First and second verse.